What Ira Levin did with Rosemary's Baby and the Stepford Wives is he wove these very social thrillers, and he built them so subtly that the main character couldn't quite tell if something really dark and horrendous was happening, or if this was just garden variety, average social weirdness.
Rosemary's Baby is one of the most popular and influential horror films of all time. The novel, as well as the film adaptation, have cemented themselves in our public consciousness, and it's hard to find a more feminist horror film than this one. Today's filmmakers consistently point to it as an inspiring piece of work. But what is it about this spooky tale that still resonates today? Today we're going to try to answer the question, what is the impact of Rosemary's Baby on modern horror? If you've never read or seen Rosemary's Baby before, here's a quick rundown. Rosemary is a young woman living in 1960s America. She and her new husband, Guy, move into an apartment building in New York City. Her neighbors are nice, but a little nosy. Rosemary eventually gets pregnant, and soon after, everyone around her, her neighbors, and especially her husband, start acting strange, and it seems to Rosemary like the baby has something to do with it. Everyone, including her doctor, tell her that the weirdness and manipulation that she's sensing is all in her head. Until the end, when it's revealed to Rosemary and the audience that the baby inside her was literally the spawn of Satan all along, that her husband literally sold her body for success in his career to their neighbors, who are witches that offered her body as a vessel to Satan and got away with it. It's a tale about destroying individuality through sexism. A bit of context here, just to understand the world that Rosemary's Baby came into. Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho was released in 1960, ushering us into what's considered the modern age of horror. The Church of Satan was founded in 1966. Rosemary's Baby, the novel, was published in 1967. The film adaptation was released the next year, 1968, and Roe v. Wade was first argued in 1971. This story was released at a time when our sensibilities in the West about religion and gender and family were all changing. The June Cleavers of the world were fighting for dominance with the impending reality of women's liberation. Rosemary was truly a woman of her time. She wanted control over herself and her life, but constantly finds it an uphill battle. She wants to please her husband and be a good wife, but she's unwilling to be stomped into the dirt in order to make it happen. The way in which it reflects the times is what makes Rosemary's Baby as a story so interesting, outside of it being an objectively good story and movie. It was so popular and so influential, it's still considered one of the many potential causes for the satanic panic of the 80s, and influenced other films of the 70s and 80s that focused on satanic powers and possession, like The Exorcist and The Omen. The first time I watched Rosemary's Baby, I already knew the ending. I think it's safe to say that a lot of people know the twist, even if they've never seen it before. I watched everything that happened to Rosemary, knowing what's going to transpire, and I couldn't help but draw parallels to issues affecting women that persist to this day. Namely, the usages and expressions of ownership over a woman's body, for pleasure or reproduction, that can happen without her consent or sometimes even her knowledge. I think of women of color who have been medically tested on and mutilated by people they're supposed to trust. Women who have been involuntarily made infertile by their doctors, who have had their cells stolen, and even the famed husband stitch, often done without women even knowing. This is real-life horror, not supernatural at all, and Rosemary's Baby is one of the first and best stories to teach us about the horror of being a woman through the genre of horror. It's telling to me, too, that Rosemary is manipulated and controlled by her husband, the person who is supposed to know her best, and her doctor and her neighbors, people who don't really know her at all. The only people who actually believe Rosemary and have her best interests at heart were her girlfriends, from whom Guy works to separate Rosemary, going so far as to call them bitches and insist that Rosemary not listen to them when they advise her to advocate for herself. The story also uses horror as a lens for motherhood in the ending. When Rosemary discovers the truth, that her new son is a demonic horror, the culmination of her unwitting union with Satan, she's horrified. But at the last moment, she accepts it. She accepts him. In the film, she looks at the baby softly and rocks its cradle to soothe its cries. There is so much horror to me in Rosemary loving the baby anyway. Many interpretations I've read insist that she chooses to love the baby, maybe the only choice that she makes for herself in the entire film. But is that a choice? She softens once he cries. I interpret this almost like her motherly instincts kick in and the baby is now controlling her. Or else her hormones, her body, betray her and make her care for him rather than following her brain and doing the rational thing of getting the heck out of there. There is a horror of domestic control here. This idea that a woman is trapped into motherhood whether she likes it or not, whether she wanted it or not, and under any circumstances, be that rape or cult control. Pregnancy itself is almost used as a horrific element in the film. Throughout this unnatural pregnancy, Rosemary becomes increasingly sick, emaciated, and pale. Now, I'm not here to imply that pregnancy is horrible or disgusting, but you have to admit there is something pretty freaky about a person living inside of another person if you think about it too much. While most people see creating a baby as a beautiful miracle, to some people, pregnancy can be extremely horrifying. In fact, there are people who are so afraid of being pregnant and or giving birth, there's actually a name for it, tacophobia. The theme of transformation or a malicious takeover of one's body is huge in horror. You've got The Thing, Alien, Cat People, Candyman, Jeepers Creepers, monsters like werewolves and vampires. It's hard to say if there's anything scarier than your body becoming a monster around you and you being powerless to stop it. To someone with tacophobia as a fear, watching Rosemary's Baby could be as horrific as someone watching something like Tusk or The Fly. Body horror and pregnancy are often placed together, and for good reason. There is a concept called Heimlich or Unheimlich, meaning familiar and unfamiliar. As Rosemary becomes more and more pregnant and gets more and more ill, she has both a physical and emotional response to the concept of the abject, the feeling we want to push away a part of ourselves, a both me and not me. Think of a movie like Psycho. Something like a murderous split personality is a fantastic example of abject imagery. In Horrors of Domesticity, Rosemary's Baby by Marissa Williams, Williams states, quote, Polanski's adaptation highlights the horrors of pregnancy women face by exaggerating the familiar and unfamiliar. The baby is familiar because it reflects physical aspects of Rosemary. It is her son. Yet the baby is also the spawn of Satan, which is the unfamiliar aspect. Nevertheless, in the film, she accepts the child, despite knowing who the father is, showcasing how Rosemary was manipulated by societal expectations to accept the child. Rosemary's Baby uses horror to illustrate the uphill battle of feminism by showing us an extreme case of manipulation and control that mirrors so much of what women go through under normal circumstances. Gaslighting is a huge part of this story. It's something terrifying that women tend to have to go through on a daily basis, being manipulated to the point of questioning one's own picture of reality. The idea of being isolated, not believed, lied to, poisoned, controlled. These are all horrifying things that happen to Rosemary, and it's so tied to her status as a woman. As the dominant force of the household, the breadwinner, Guy, her husband, can control everything that Rosemary does. And it takes a lot for her to begin to doubt him. He easily lies to her and prevents her from making her own decisions. He insults her when she tries to express her own individuality by getting her hair cut. He forces her to go to a doctor she doesn't like for her pregnancy. The night they try to conceive a child, he drugs her, lets the devil rape and impregnate her, and when she wakes up with scratches all over her, he claims that he attempted to impregnate her in her sleep. Which is scary enough, almost as scary as the truth. When Rosemary finally tries to get help, she's threatened with psychiatric incarceration, a fate that met so many hysterical women who were just trying to find the truth. When Rosemary's Baby was first released, horror films were seen very differently than they are now. This was one of the very first artsy sort of horror films, a film more than a movie. It immediately became a classic in its genre, bending the supernatural horror with real-life horror. It told us that the commonplace could be terrifying. Normal people could be incredibly dangerous. As Clarice Lawry from The Independent states, quote, Rosemary's Baby remains a prevailing influence because of what it helped establish within a genre, a way to communicate every horror through supernatural metaphor, unquote. All of this is so remarkable because it simply hadn't really been done this way before, and it sets the stage for so many more movies about the challenges of simply existing as a woman. Black Christmas, Jennifer's Body, Teeth, Suspiria, Midsommar. I don't know that any of these films would exist in the way that they do if Rosemary's Baby had not told such a compelling story with a central theme, the simultaneous victimhood and power that comes with being a woman. Movies that even more directly channeled the specific motherhood horror of Rosemary's Baby include 2017's Mother, 2018's Hereditary, The House of the Devil, Devil's Due, The Babadook, Annabelle, and the British psychodrama The Ones Below all pay some homage to Rosemary. We Need to Talk About Kevin is considered by some to be a quasi-sequel to Rosemary's Baby, a mother raising a troubled, twisted, and violent son. One part of the anthology film XX explores a sort of alternate reality. What would have happened if Rosemary had gotten away from it all mid-pregnancy and had raised the spawn of Satan all alone? Spoiler, it ends super badly. Rosemary's Baby has even sort of created its own subgenre in a way, social commentary horror. Rosemary's Baby is one of Jordan Peele's favorite movies, and it was a huge influence for Get Out. It's a film about gender, says Peele. It's about men making decisions about women's bodies behind their backs. Rosemary uses her instincts as a new mother to protect herself and her child. On a subtle level, her personality and point of view are helping her out, and it's the same with Chris in Get Out. His blackness is what allows him to perceive that something sinister is going on. What is so incredible about Rosemary's Baby is that it's about so many different things that filmmakers can grab and run with. False Positive, which is a film that heavily references Rosemary's Baby, focuses on the failings of the American healthcare system, rather than the idea of sexist suffocation and erosion of free will that pervades the original story, but the end result is kind of the same. So much of horror up until the 1960s told the stories of fantastical supernatural monsters, aliens, demons that interrupt our way of life. Rosemary's Baby began to turn that around, looking at how horrifying real life can be. It blurs the line between supernatural horror and domestic horror. It begs you, look at what women are being put through. It's almost like a shout at men. Look how awful it is to be a dehumanized woman in a coercive and abusive relationship. Do we need to bring in the devil to get you to understand? The horror that follows Guy's selfishness shows how something normal can bring to power something unimaginable. That being a woman, alone and manipulated and tortured, robbed of her bodily control over and over, can feel like being overwhelmed by witches and raped by the devil. Just like Get Out shows us that being black in a world that wants to control and oppress you so they can protect themselves from you but also profit from you can feel like being stolen away into a literal sunken void that's impossible to escape from. Eleanor Johnson of publicbooks.org put it amazingly. What these viewers recognized is that without Guy's coercive control of Rosemary, there would be no satanic rape. Without the rape, there would be no satanic baby. The horror of Rosemary's Baby is to show how terrifying, unimaginable supernatural horror piggybacks on the routine, mundane reality of domestic abuse. Rosemary's Baby recognizes that coercive male behaviors, gaslighting, psychological control, social isolation, restriction of movement and knowledge, sexual control, and reproductive violence are what spawns evil in the world. And it literalizes that idea through the satanic baby. Women are still underrepresented in most high-paying jobs and political roles. In 2024, the average woman makes about 83% of what a man makes. As of 2018, women experience sexual harassment or assault twice as often as men do. Rapists can legally claim parental rights to a child in some parts of the US. Rights to abortion have been contested and argued over and over since Rosemary's Baby was released in theaters, with no real sign of resolution on the horizon. And that's all looking at women in general, not even getting into disparities that affect women of color, queer women, and disabled women. Films like this one are important because they continue to encourage filmmakers and filmgoers to discuss these issues, to advocate for women, to listen to women, to empathize with and hopefully stand up for women. They insist on bringing to light the complex reality that is being a woman. Women can see themselves in Rosemary, but also in all the other female characters inspired by her, now and hopefully for many, many films to come.
Hysteria is hosted and created by me, Allie Nimmons. Find more episodes on your podcast player or at hysteriapod.com.